20 years, actually, total, as has been said. Who are we? We'd like to share just a little bit, because there's some new faces in 20 years of leaving here and coming back. Who are we? Really, just a brief history.
Just really brief. Over half of you probably remember us and our faces, but for those of you who don't, my dad is Dwight Bolton, and he and my mom grew up here in Kittitas Valley. They went to high school. My grandpa was a bus driver out at Kittitas. And so my dad was in the Navy. I grew up in the South mainly as a kid because he was stationed there, but when he decided to retire, he came back to Ellensburg. And so I actually graduated from Ellensburg High School, and then Scott and I met, I think that's the next slide. We met our very first week at university here when we were 18 years old. And in and in fact, people are like, so did you meet at college? Where did you meet? And it's like, well, actually, we met at church. His grandparents were Gil and Ann Matthews. He was a deacon in the church here. And they sat behind me with my parents. And they were like, oh, this is our grandson, Scott Wood. He's coming here to go to college. So, and then it was from then on, we were together. So we got married when we were 20. We finished our degrees. Scott became an engineer. I finished my education and language degrees. And then we had kids. Yes. And one of them is here, Nathan. Yeah, that's our son. And he was born here in Ellensburg and dedicated in this church. And we've had the privilege now of having our granddaughter, also born here and dedicated in this church. So yeah, so this really is our home church. When people say, what's your home church? And it's like, well, we have several that we identify with, but this is the one that we definitely have our lives invested in the most.
Exactly. It's so much that is the beginning of our journey. And it continues, as all of our journeys do, until the Lord takes us home. Well, our journey has had many facets and aspects for sure to it. And so go ahead and just keep going on, guys. We'll just, our journey about 20 years ago, it changed pretty significantly. And really, to give justice to what happened, what God did in that next step, is to say thank you. Because what happens to become an international missionary, as Denise and I are, with the International Mission Board as part of the Southern Baptist Convention, it's a lot to say, is to say that when you give to this church, you're not just giving to the work and the activity here of the church and the pastoral staff and all of that. You're actually giving a portion to the International Mission Board, and that is through the cooperative program. Little detail there. And then also at Christmas time, and we're working out details to come on back and share at that time a little bit more specifically then as well. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering, if that sounds familiar, is then the only second opportunity where you hear more specifically about giving to international missions with the International Mission Board. And if you give at that time to the Lighter Moon Christmas offering, you're giving and making it possible for Denise and I to serve overseas in Poland most recently. So you are directly involved in the process of sending us, and we say thank you. And some of you have been praying for us for these two decades in receiving the wood chip and other things that that I've been sending back over these years. And thank you. Thank you for both of these activities. So as we continue on, go ahead. Our journey, this aspect of our journey, started in 1999 on Hannah's birthday. And God moved us to Moscow, Russia. We didn't exactly expect that at first, as I'm going to share a little detail and tidbit about where we thought God was taking us. But he took us that November day to a nice, blistery, roughly 30 below zero, Moscow, Russia, where we enjoyed the cold and learning what cold was really like for months on end in the minus temperatures and things like that. And our journey continued. And go ahead, and Here is after we had spent some time, this obviously, or maybe not so obviously, is not Russia. We, from time to time, had the privilege to escape the cold, as it were, on vacation and things like that, and go to places like Greece, where that was, and the Pantheon behind us. So why don't you share just a little bit of that 20 years in the in these three?
So essentially, we started off in Russia. We went to language school in Moscow, where we attempted to learn Russian. It's a challenge, but we did. We learned Russian, and then we went to a city where we served, and we're working with the church planters there in a place called Stavropol, Russia. And it was in basically due south of Moscow, just above the country of Georgia. And we lived there for 3.5 years. God redirected our course by a series of events that were way out of our control. The government said, "We don't want you here, and would you please leave?" And we were like, "Oh, okay." So that cut short our time and our plan, but God, in his wisdom and in his faithfulness, provided for us. And then we moved to Prague, Czech Republic, or Czechia. And many of you here joined us as on a mission trip. And just as an update, I recently got an email. We had a camp while we were in Prague. We were working with the Czechs there who lived in our neighborhood. We were teaching them English, but we were also sharing with them who Christ is. The Czech Republic is very difficult. It is the most atheistic country in Europe. And so the adults were friendly, and they were like, "Yeah, okay, that's fine. That's good for you, but this isn't for me." But one of the really neat things that just happened, I got an email a month ago from a gal who was one of the daughters of the women that we were working with. Her name is Anna, and her mom was Yitka, if you happen to remember Yitka. And Anna wrote, and she said, "I want to say thank you to you and Denise, or you and Scott." She said, "I want to say thank you because, one, you taught me English, and you helped me to have opportunities, and now she's teaching English to her own daughter. She's married and has a child. But she's also become a believer. She is now going to the Christian library that's there. She's attending parenting classes at the Christian library. She's taking her child, who is learning about Jesus, at the Christian library. So God has been faithful. Amen. It's taken 15 years to see results. I guess it's 11 years since we had that first camp. But God has been faithful. And so keep praying for those Czech friends that we made and their children, because God is doing work in their lives. So then after we were 6 years in Czech, now we've been in Poland, in a city that looks like Wroclaw, W-R-O-C-L-A-W, but it's pronounced Wrocław. And we've been learning Polish, or attempting, which is a challenge.
Exactly. And a little detail there I'll interject is 25 years in the making at the 2012. God had put on our hearts to go to this very city, to the very ministry, actually, that we did. So I encourage you, be faithful, be diligent, be patient, and let God work out his timing, because his timing is very much perfect. We here at, as we were getting married and being called to the International Mission Board to serve overseas, this very city that we didn't know how to actually say, God was calling us, so beware. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So anyway, so we've been in Wrocław, Poland for the past almost seven and a half years, very long time. And so God has been doing a really amazing things we did not expect to happen. Do we have any more slides?
Well, sort of expected and sort of didn't. Yeah, God does his
work. So this is a picture of our town hall in the center. Just a brief history of Wrocław. Wrocław used to be Germany before 1945. And so this was actually a German city. This is the town hall built in around the 1200s. And then after World War II, the boundaries shifted, and then it became Poland. And so so there's all these Poles here, and it's a very unique city in Poland because everyone's a newbie. Nobody's lived there before 1945. And so they're far more welcome and far more open than your average Polish city. And so they're much more welcome to foreigners and even other thoughts about how to look at the gospel apart from what they're taught in just the Catholic Church, that you go to church, you do these sacraments, and that's what you need to do, and about the life that Christ gives us. So these are just more images of the city, and it's quite a lovely place. It's on a river, and the river splits around, and we have a moat still around the city center, so that's really cool.
Go ahead and go back to that last one, but I get to tell the story.
Okay, you tell the story.
So this is a Krasnal. It's a gnome or something to that effect. It's a little maybe hard to tell. They're sitting on his excavator. I think that's an excavator. Some of you could tell me better. And there are over 200 of them officially in the city. And they're part of actually an amazing aspect of this city's history, where they never were willing to give up on their faith. They were never willing to give up on their being Polish, actually, even when there was no country to be Polish in, or under communism specifically, where they started to call themselves the Krasnali, to gather together in small groups when it was illegal to do so, and talk about their culture, and use their language, and ultimately share faith with each other from the Catholic perspective, for sure. But that is a symbol of this city's continued resistance. Resistance, though, purposefully, to be intentionally going and growing as God, I believe, wanted them to be doing so. So a neat aspect, and if you were to come, then we would even show you, and you would go on a journey to search for the many. Actually, they're now over 300, I believe, unofficially, and probably pushing 400. Go ahead, and let's go to the next slide.
So when we arrived in Wrocław about 7.5 years ago, we met with the pastors that were there, the Baptist pastors that invited us to come. And they said, listen, I know you guys are here to plant a Polish language church, but that's not what you're going to do. We want you to plant an English language church. You speak English, we don't. This is a good deal. And he said, we have a lot of foreigners here in this city, a lot of internationals, a lot of businesses who are starting, and we do not have an English language congregation in this whole city. And the city is about 700,000 people, all right? It's a large city. And so they said, we want you to start an international church. So we prayed about it, we discussed it with our leaders, and God's like, yeah, this is what we want you to do, or this is what I want you to do. So anyway, so we started, and this was after 1 year. That's after 1 year. That was basically, those are our founding members of our church. We started with about 25, and I think that's about 40 there, 35 to 40. And the thing about international churches is it's very similar to military churches, if you've been in churches where you grew up in the military. They have a very big revolving door. So people are in and out and in and out and in and out. So we've had a lot of faces. Most of those people are actually gone now because they aren't Polish. So there's a few Polish faces that stay, but most of the internationals come and go. God really worked. One of the founding principles that Scott really wanted to establish with the church is the concept of discipleship. And you'll be hearing more about that from him today. But this concept that it's not just necessarily a place where we're family, which we are, but it's also a place where we're to be trained and equipped and sent out to build up one another as the body, but also, as Stacia and the youth were talking about, to be sent out and to go out into the world and to share this amazing message we've been given. And so that has been on our hearts. And so these are the things that God has been doing. God totally did this. God did the church plant. God did the work. We just were trying to hang on and keep up with him. And so here is the church that was taken. This photo was taken in March. There's about 100 people there from all over the world. We've literally had people from every single continent involved in this church. Now we passed off leadership this last term, kind of reporting back to you as Paul did when they came back to Antioch and said, hey, look what God has done with the Gentiles. Well, this is our chance to tell you now, what has God done these last 3 years of our term? It's been challenging. We've been doing a lot of leadership development. That's been the main thing that Scott and I have been doing. And so training up leadership to invest in the church, but also leadership to be sent out, that revolving door again. So, for example, I've been working with a young woman named Yara. She's a college student. She's 19. She's from Mozambique, but she's been a student in Wrocław. And she found her way to our church, and she's like, I want to learn the Bible like you do, Denise. And so I'm like, okay. And so God's like, yep, invest in this one. So I've been spending once a week with Yara for the past year. And she has been growing in leaps and bounds. God's given her the gift of evangelism. She's one of these young ladies who is like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to read my Bible tonight. I don't have time to meet. Why do you read your Bible? And she gets to share the gospel. So she's just this amazing light. And so now, right now, this summer, she's in Mozambique. If you think of her, pray for her. Her name is Yara, Y-A-R-A. And that she can be a light also to her family there in Mozambique and to friends that God brings to her way. So Yara is just one example of the many, many lives that God has just, again, been bringing through this church and the opportunities we've had.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Our journey continues, and we just don't know exactly how. Go ahead, and I'll take over. Yeah, we just, to be honest, we really don't know what the next steps are. We believe that we faithfully passed off the leadership of the International Church of Wrocław, and we are seeking God's plan, God's will, God's next steps even for what he is going to do and how he's going to use us. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And in that process, in this last few years, our family's growing. They're adding a few. Our daughter is now married and a two-month-old baby, Samuel. And then we've got number three on the way. Many of you know already Chia. Go ahead and go on to the next slide. So there's actually a couple years back when we got to be a family, and what a blessing. And there's our now two-year-old granddaughter. She turned two on Monday, and we had such a great time. And if you don't know Chia, then I encourage you, I hope you will get a chance to meet her and greet her and get to know her better as we are enjoying doing so. And if you maybe remember that to be praying for, Risa and Chia are going actually to Japan tomorrow. We'd be grateful for your prayers for being a month away. All right, keep going, please. So let's go ahead and let's spend a few minutes. We're going to aim for 10 and we'll see how it goes. No, we're going to come really close. Would you go ahead and open up God's word to Matthew? Matthew, write that last chapter, Matthew 28. We are going to have to abbreviate quite a bit of what I had prepared, but that's perfectly fine. Find the end of Matthew. Go ahead and... yeah, thanks. Perfect. And maybe it's a cliche, maybe it's just many things. But I would encourage you today to be asking yourself, am I a missionary? And secondarily, well, what do I do if I am a missionary? And I hope that we'll answer those two questions, but unfortunately we have barely enough time to maybe answer those two questions in a theoretical sense. How does that really work out? We don't have a lot of that time. And I pray that you will see that that is part of God's plan for you, is that working it out and learning how that continues. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So Matthew 28, let's read together 18 through 20. And I'll just read it right off the screen here. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." A lot that Jesus said, leaving planet Earth. And I believe he answered those two questions. Am I a missionary? Now, that's presuming that you are saying, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And what do I do? Well, a missionary, what is a missionary? A missionary is someone who has a mission. It's pretty much that simple. The word itself actually is not found in the Bible. It is the title to the Great Commission, a commission, a two-part mission, as it were, where we partner together with God in the sense that He does His part and we do ours. And in that as well, that next aspect, though, for missionaries, for having a mission, is that's not something we send ourselves on. That's where it differs from many other things that could be, I believe, is that mission is actually given by God. And there we see it in those two verses, 18. We see that authority, that Jesus is the authority. It's been given all to Him by His Father. And He didn't say, I give it now all that authority to you, disciples. No, He kept that authority, and He's the one who has permission. He has the responsibility and right to give and tell you what the mission is, me, what the mission is, that very thing. And there it is. I believe that make disciples. He answered that second question, is what do missionaries do? I believe, I'm convinced more than ever, that faithful missionaries make disciples as we go, or as we're being sent. Technically, that go means that journey. So go ahead and go back to that last one. Yeah, that's perfect. So the question really boils down to is, if I have accepted Jesus' mission, I'm a missionary. I hope that that is something that you continue to wrestle with, if and would begin wrestling with if you haven't before, is am I accepting God's mission for me, where I am, what He has me doing? I semi-intentionally dressed this way today. Partially is I didn't have a suit and all of that stuff to come up here, but secondarily, a second purpose is to whatever you have, whoever you are, whatever God has you doing at that moment, wrinkly shirt, blue jeans, questionable shoes, whatever it is, that's the moment, and that's the way and the time that God wants you to be faithfully saying, yes, I am your missionary, and I will accept your mission to go and make disciples. It's not an excuse to dress poorly or something like that. That's not what I'm wanting to imply. But it's not something that we get all ready for and somehow ourselves, okay, God, I'm ready to be a missionary. No, it's a surrendering, as we sang, as we heard testimony from the youth. It is something we surrender to, and we say all, and then faithfully live it out. I believe it's pretty much that simple, and in so many ways, message over, because we're going to skip a whole lot more of background and details that I get excited about. We're going to just glance at them as we're going to really literally up there tech guys. We're going to keep going through and skip a bunch of them. So go ahead and I'll just pass them on. Okay, the Great Commission, we went through that. Keep going. It's not changed. The mission has not changed from the very beginning. And that's the summary of these next bunch of slides. Keep on going is actually from the very beginning in Deuteronomy. Keep going. God's message, I believe the heart of it, the purpose of it, the method of it, go ahead and keep going, has not changed. The message itself, in a sense, in that the Ten Commandments, Paul will describe in Romans over and over again, where God's method, the Old Testament method of salvation, essentially, and the new is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and keep going on. But in the end, the mission is the same. The activity of go ahead and keep going. We're really going to get right on past those. Keep going, yeah. Yeah, so much I hope that. No, go ahead and start with that number one there. Perfect, thank you. We hadn't worked this out, so, you know, great job up there. If I were to share, and I'm going to share, some lessons that I believe God's been teaching me about this journey, about being a missionary, about what it is that God is calling me to be and to do. It starts here. And that's where that Shema, that core original message of God is love the Lord your God, and he said with everything, is it starts there. And in a way, it sort of ends there. Because if you don't have that love of God, if that is not genuinely in you, then you have nothing to give away. As a missionary, you cannot accept your mission, your commands from your commander, because he's not your commander. If you have not received and are not in that process of a God style and method love relationship. To be total. Not just some and not just most. Not just sometimes. Literally total. And I believe what that, in it, at least to me, kind of as I have been trying to learn how to describe it, is growing as Jesus' disciple. Little d disciple. There were the 12. And we're actually, you know, the numbers are a little bit funny with Judas Iscariot being that a failure, as it were, which is, no, God's part of God's plan, and the additional one added. There are so many little details we could get wrapped up in. But in the end, I believe Jesus is teaching us that we are to accept that if we are going to be a follower of Jesus, we are accepting the mission to grow as Jesus' disciple through his word, through his work in the Holy Spirit. And we have other parts to play in that journey, each of us with each other, as Denise shared about Yara, as the youth directors are sharing with the youth, as the youth will share with other youth and did at camp, as we heard in the Bible study time and through other ways. That's what I believe that looks like, that if we are not learning God's word, we again have no detailed understanding of what this calling is, what this mission is, and how it is to work. And if we don't have these first two, we can't get to the third. And I believe it's as simple and as complicated as intentionally passing on what we are learning, that love, the commands. Jesus said in that Matthew 28, teach to obey all the commands. And that was the old ones and the new ones. I one time started, I thought, okay, so if Jesus said, for example, all the commands of Jesus, were there many of them? And if you start digging into the English, we really don't have a great way. And it doesn't just say, okay, this is a command from Jesus, all right? But in the original language, it does. There are thousands in the New Testament alone of the Gospels alone recorded, much less those that God goes on to use with Paul and others. And they're not commands that I believe are some kind of a burden or some kind of a I must do. I believe that's where that love relationship comes in. It's what we get to do. Go ahead and go to the next slide. We get to teach diligently. We get to impress. These are from that Deuteronomy passage a little bit more, and then that teaching sense that Jesus tells us. We get to invest purposefully. We get to share faithfully. Those are just ways, maybe, I guess, on my heart are to describe what it is that we do as missionaries when we're faithful. Let's go on to the next one. I believe it's so similar to skills and talents and interests that God has given you. Whether that's sewing, building, for me it's right now, well, it has been for a long time, bicycles, big time. And I got a chance to see how my passion and love for bicycles, I got to stand there and work on and get dirty with and tear things, all that with guys and girls as they were working on their bicycles, because I was passing on intentionally. I believe I was discipling as we're down in this, what I call my bike dungeon in Wrocław, Russia, Wrocław, Poland, and talking about Jesus as we worked on bicycles. As they learned a skill, and my prayer, my greatest desire, was they would learn about Jesus at the same time. Yeah, there was purposefulness. I needed to do that, but I got to do that. I love to do that. That was the most fun, and Denise would, I believe, attest in a moment. It's the most agonizing and frustrating thing from time to time. You're wanting to get all this information packed into these conversations, these opportunities, but I encourage you that this is a long-term journey. If you're going to teach somebody how to cook, you don't do it in one 10-minute session. You do it time and time and time. Again, this is about investing in people for the long term. Go ahead and next slide. Are you a missionary? Are you willing to accept that mission from the Lord? Because if you call yourself a Christian, then I believe you have no other choice. But if you're going to be faithful, you're going to respond and say, yes, Lord. It's not easy. It's not even maybe fun from time to time. I guarantee you, Denise and I have plenty of stories where it was not enjoyable. Being in a Russian jail, there were so many ways that from time to time it wasn't fun, but it was always worth it. And looking back, what a privilege, what a joy. And not just there, but here. Getting to do that wherever God has you. Now here's the two. Now our kids have grown up and they're leaving us and having kids, and it's wonderful and exactly part of another way of looking at discipleship, the raising up, the passing on that love, those commands, all of that. Asking the Lord to then continue to do that work that only He can do, but are us being faithful in that process as well. Go ahead, and I think that may be the last slide. Is that right? How about you? Will you accept God's mission? If you have a relationship with God, you believe you have that right now, then I encourage you, don't delay in receiving the joy and the privilege of as simple as, like with our kids in that Deuteronomy passage talks about, is sharing your love for God as you're walking down the road. I like to think of it as sitting watching the TV program. Wow, is that appropriate for us to be watching? Wow, what does that teach us about God? Working on the car, at work, at play, at the grocery store. All of these relationships, I believe, are all similar opportunities to have the privilege to invest in people. Will you accept God's mission? Will you let Him just teach you step by step every day what it is that you do as His missionary? And if you want, I'd be honored to walk with you in that process, whether today in saying, I have never begun that process of becoming a follower of Jesus. And I'll be down here up front, a couple of us will be. Or if you say, I'd like to be in contact with somebody and we talk about, even if it has to be through email, what does it mean for me to grow as Jesus' disciple and pass that on? All right? So let's go ahead and even just move to the time of invitation. And I'd like to transition with a brief prayer. Lord, thank you for your calling in my life, the privilege to serve you. And I'm grateful that that doesn't stop with me or anyone, but if we are your children, convinced that you have got a calling, a mission for each and every one of us that's beyond what we could ever comprehend or plan for ourselves, I pray we will be found faithful and obedient to it. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.